You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 820 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
The last hints of autumn are slowly disappearing. As daylight dwindles and evening's darkness spreads over the northern hemisphere, Christmas comes during the week of the winter solstice, when the night is longest. Into the darkness is born the light to the nations, the morning star, the light of the world. Advent begins with the summons to throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. We are called, as baptized Christians, to cast off the darkness of sin and arm ourselves with Christ our light. Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany stand as beacons in the liturgical year, calling us to remember that no matter how dark with misery the world may seem, Christ our light will always shine.
Christ our light will always shine. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to The Light Show. My name is Kate DeVries. I'm the Associate Director of the Young Adult Ministry Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago. We are the Catholic Church's outreach to people in their 20s and 30s, both married and single, and we are delighted to be with you for the next hour. And I am here with our co-host, the Director of Young Adult Ministry, Father John Cusick. Good morning, Father Cusick.
And good morning, Kate. How are you this morning?
I am well. Thank you. Happy Advent to you and to all of our listeners. Yay. And we have another wonderful person with us today whose voice you just heard, who actually wrote that meditation. His name is Jerry Gallipo. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Kate. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
Just great. Thank you.
Good morning, Jerry. You have a radio voice.
Good morning, fellow. Oh, I do. Oh, good to know.
A good early morning radio voice. Jerry is the Worship Resources Editor for World Library Publications. We're delighted to have you with us.
Thank you,
Jerry,
Kate.
Why don't you tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Sure. Well, as you said, I'm the Worship Resources Editor at World Library in Franklin Park, which means basically I construct and put together things like seasonal missalette, the We Celebrate hymnal, the various worship resources for people's use in the United States. I'm a parishioner at St. James on Wabash,
sure.
on the near
nice.
South Side, live in the West Loop. A pretty strong supporter, a good strong supporter of my parish that pretty much sits right in the Dearborn Homes area there, and we're constantly looking out into the community to
sure.
find ways to help the poor in that neighborhood.
It's a wonderful community. It's a crosshair kind of a community.
It truly
you
is.
You know, with Prairie Shores and then sadly some of the projects that are there and the redevelopment of Bronzeville.
It's amazing. The community is very diverse. We have a large international student population from IIT
That's
there
right.
as well. So Sundays is just very diverse, the assembly. It's a wonderful
and
place.
And not only Sundays, St. James has hosted Theology on Tap
yes,
for us
yes.
for many years now.
Exactly.
So
yes.
there is
right.
a young adult community there, and they do great things.
They're wonderful.
Yes.
Well, we're thrilled with your presence this morning.
Well, thanks so much.
And Jerry, why don't you tell us a little bit more about the music we heard, too, as the show was opening?
Well, this is from a brand new CD called Holy Light, Musical Reflections for Christmas, that is published by World Library. Denise Legilia, who has been playing flute here in the Archdiocese of
sure.
Chicago for many, many years, all around. She and I are kind of musical soulmates, and we have mm-hmm. one recording called Window to Peace, which we did about 5 years ago, and we've always wanted to do a Christmas, Advent kind of recording, and this was just released, and we're just thrilled
wonderful.
With it.
Excellent. Yeah. It is beautiful.
And so throughout the show today, we're going to intersperse some of Jerry's reflections and then some of this wonderful music that is found on this CD, as Jerry mentioned, Holy Light.
Terrific.
And that's published by World Library.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
And people can get that, Jerry, by?
Logging onto our website at www.wlpmusic.com, okay. wlpmusic.com, or 800-566-6150.
Great.
It'd be a wonderful gift for yourself. I mean, for each one of ourselves, not just a gift to give to others, but to sort of keep us focused a little bit in the mayhem of these next couple weeks.
Absolutely.
Right. We were talking, Father Cusick and I were talking about this earlier, it's getting harder and harder to stay in the feel of Advent because Christmas comes at us so fast and so early. It's important to slow down, to really take the signs and the symbols, to listen to the readings and...
Almost seems, Jerry, that church and culture are at a cross purposes today. Christmas is anticipated, and the church celebrates it from Christmas for the next week or so through Epiphany. So we're going in an opposite direction, where we are supposed to wind down and really get into an Advent flow looking for the coming of the Lord. We are just bombarded by the Christmas celebration.
Absolutely. I was thinking about this last night. I was at home, and on one side of the living room, I'm decorating the Christmas tree, hanging the angels, putting the lights on, and at the dining room table on the other side is the Advent wreath with the second candle lit, said the prayer from Isaiah, and it's certainly kind of an in-between time because we're caught in the culture, yet as church people, we know that this is a time of anticipation and joyful anticipation.
Right.
Yes. What we'd like to do, just so our listeners know, every Advent, right before Christmas, we do an Advent show to help people stay in that feel of Advent. So we invite all of our listeners to join us this morning to enter into our conversation. If there's a particular Advent tradition that you and your family have and you want to share that, we invite you to give us a call. You can reach us at 312-751-1979. Again, 312-751-1979.
Jerry, when in your opening reflection, there's something that has become sort of important to me as I have done my own homework and my own research and reading regarding Advent, Christmas, and that's winter solstice. That this is a huge thing. This was before I was privileged to give a presentation the other night to a group of people from St. Petronils in Glen Ellen. And I said, before there was any organized religion, winter solstice was a phenomenal celebration because of the return of the sun. And that is sort of what triggered the whole Christmas thing and Advent thing, if I'm not correct. Am I correct on that?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and so in positioning the darkness, in the way the church uses language, as you mentioned, morning star, light of the nations, light of the world. We are the counter to the darkness. We are the hope in the midst of something that's sometimes seen as just so sad. And it just seems in my work as a priest that when you hear about tragedy this time of the year, it seems compounded. I couldn't help but think last week when three innocent people were gunned down in a law firm. It just seemed horrific. It's always horrific. But there's always a rider when you hear people say, well, you know, particularly at this time around Christmas, how sad that is. So our awareness, I think, is hyped, looking for hope.
And it's reflected in nature as well. I know, especially here in the Midwest, when we have dark, overcast skies, and you wake up in the morning and it just seems like it's the middle of the night, but it's still 7 in the morning and you have to get yourself going. But I try to look at that as trying to be attuned to the natural course of events and make a connection with what this reflection talks about, that there is always hope.
Exactly.
You know, and that's what the season really is about.
You know, and I always thought, and I made mention last Sunday at my Mass, that many liturgies, historically, when these things were set up, were celebrated very early in the morning in very dark climes. And for all of a sudden to strike a light in a little European church where it's dark till 8, 9, 9:30 in the morning you really got a sense of what it meant to be a light to the world, where that's sort of lost when you strike a light at 11 o'clock in the morning in Chicago when the sun is out or all the lights around in the church. So we don't have the blessing of that type of darkness. So.
Well, let's go to break. You are listening to The Light Show, hosted today by Father John Cusick, Kate DeVries, and Jerry Gallipo from World Library Publications. We welcome your calls and your questions about Advent and Advent traditions, and we will be right back.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
From the moment you see the dramatic cover photo of an angel atop a church watching over the city of Chicago, you know you're about to enjoy a very special book. The Archdiocese of Chicago, A Journey of Faith, is a treasure chest of photographs, paintings, and historic perspective. Every church in the Archdiocese of Chicago is featured. The book provides readers with insight into our Catholic heritage, ministry, evolution, and challenges. A Journey of Faith makes a great gift with more than 340 pages of photos and history printed on gloss paper, hardcover, color throughout. It is available at many parishes, or you can call Liturgy Training Publications at 1-800-933-1800 or order online at ltp.org. So call 1-800-933-1800 or go to ltp.org. The Archdiocese of Chicago, A Journey of Faith. Display it proudly in your home.
Sometimes it is hard to believe that the light of Christ can possibly triumph over sin and evil. We see images of starving children, read statistics about world hunger and poverty, and watch as innocent children are murdered in our schools in acts of senseless violence. We may be tempted to cry out, "Where is Christ our light?" Since the days of the Israelites in the desert, people of faith have cried out, searching for God's presence in the midst of calamity. What we celebrate is not a mere remembrance of events long past. If we truly believe that in baptism we put on Christ, then it is up to us to be the light of Christ today.
Show. We are delighted to be with you this morning, focusing on Advent and the gift that Advent can be in our lives. We have a caller. Anne is on the line in Chicago. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning. How are you today?
We are well today. How are you?
Good, good.
Excellent.
I come from a large family that always celebrated Advent by using the Advent wreath. Mm-hmm. And my family, I just climbed the stairs. Take that breath.
You're so good.
Okay. And now I'm a mother of five, and I really find it difficult to get everything in order very quickly so that I can start by the first week of Advent. Never be discouraged, because you can always start. And three helpful hints is that you can get the whole packet of Advent candles at your local fabric store in one box.
Oh, very nice.
Sure, there you go.
You can download the Advent prayers. EWTN has them on the Internet. All you have to do is Google Advent prayers, and they come up. And you can even bless your own wreath. So
exactly.
With holy water from church. So that's a really good start. I also was able to, a little late, download the Immaculate Conception Novena.
Sure.
And then, you know, you can always, in addition to your Advent prayer, do the Thanksgiving 9 days after of that novena alongside that. And I know I just don't want to pack it in, but there are so many wonderful things. The O antiphons, I was thinking, well, what about those?
They're so wonderful.
I want to get my hands on those. I Googled O antiphons, and I got this beautiful layout for what to do. Mm-hmm. So in the midst of struggling to do the right things in remembrance of what we did as children, it's become much easier, I think, for us to focus on Advent with that. So good luck to you all. Yeah. One other thing, never waste anything. My daughter came home with this beautiful Advent wreath that she had sketched on paper, and I think it was a project just for to get them to focus on the Advent wreath. And they made the candles, which they cut out, and they cut out yellow flames. Well, I learned this week that the Lutheran faith actually began that tradition of the Advent wreath.
Okay.
And that my sister-in-law is Lutheran and my brother's Catholic, and that we downloaded young children's prayers for the Advent wreath. We're going to mail that off to him, even though it's a little late.
Sure.
So keep the spirit.
And Anne, I think the important thing that you raise is that we need to take this kind of time to raise to our consciousness what's really important.
Right.
You know, I had the privilege on Monday evening of being invited to the home of a family. And I was just watching. Their kids are coming in at different times from the activities after school. One was in a sports program. Another was in a choral program. And we sat down to eat, and the parents were wonderful. They said, we're going to light the candles first. So one of the little girls lighted the Advent candles, and one of the other kids said the prayer. And you just got this feeling of parents saying, hey, this is important.
Right.
And we're not just going to run from event to event to event, because I think sometimes today we're chasing our own tails. And I think we need time, particularly this time of the year, to stay focused on what it means to be the light to the world.
Absolutely.
You know, that we are the ones who carry Christ with us. And it can be dark out there, and a variety of metaphors of darkness. And I think the great thing you're teaching your kids is you are a light to the world. We bring Christ to a waiting world. And we need to stop and raise that in our consciousness through the O antiphons and through the lighting of the candle and the blessing of the wreath and the saying of the prayers. And they're going to see someday that their mom wasn't crazy.
There was a reason.
Right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Anne, so much for your call.
Thanks.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You. Have a blessed Advent and a good Christmas with you and your family. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Bye.
In talking about Advent, what does it mean to have a good Advent? And I think Anne reminded us of a few things. One is simply to realize it's not too late today. Start today. Just start to slow down. Start to put yourself in God's presence and stay in the moment. And if you're privileged to have little children around you, to help them to understand that God is with us always and that we are the light of the world.
Sure. So, folks, if you're listening to us today or you're driving in your car or whatever and have access to a telephone, as Kate has mentioned, you know, let's ask this question. What do you think it means to be the light of Christ today? And are there things that you have done in your family, yourself, historically, around the Advent season that could be shared with other people? So we want to keep you as a part of our program this morning as well. So that we think that that's important.
Jerry, your thoughts on being the light of Christ?
Well, I think for me, most of this comes down to the everydayness of life. I have to admit that my life runs by fairly quickly, and there's sometimes not much I can do to slow it down. For instance, I'm in a carpool 5 days a week with three of my colleagues. I usually refer to it as my world. And, you know, at 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning, when you're just kind of getting yourself out of bed or getting children ready for school, sometimes you can be in a bit of a nasty mood perhaps in the morning. And I really try in my little carpool world to to be a cheerful voice. Mm. Good morning, you know, yeah. And to be, but not just to be nice, but to be conscious about really trying to bring Christ into other people's lives, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. at the same time, just recognizing the presence of Christ in right. in a Toyota, you know.
sure.
And for me, it's. It really makes a difference in the way to start the day, but it's really being the light of Christ in the everyday moments of life and being conscious of that and stopping and saying, you know, thank you God and praise God for the gift of to be able to do this, mm-hmm. you know, and to recognize that in other people.
It's just a powerful experience, and I think we have to raise to our consciousness that we are on a mission. We are as Jesus went from town to town, and we are the ones who are moving through the ordinary things of life, and birthing, literally, birthing Christ.
Absolutely.
Giving Christ life by the actions of our lives to transform the darkness of the world into the morning star.
And you're listening to The Light Show right here on Relevant Radio, AM 820. If you have any thoughts about ways of being light or you want to share a story with us, please give us a call, 312-751-1979. Again, 312-751-1979, and we will be right back.
As winter sets in, Catholic Charities seeks help for the homeless. I'm Father Mike Boland, the administrator of Catholic Charities for the Archdiocese, and I invite you to join us in our efforts to clothe and feed the poor. Catholic Charities is in need of warm items in our clothing rooms. We are collecting coats, gloves, hats, blankets, and sleeping bags for the homeless. Donations can be dropped off at our emergency assistance office at 721 North LaSalle, or you can visit our website at www.catholiccharities.net. Help Catholic Charities provide a little warmth this winter.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Four Catholic elementary schools celebrate the national honor of being named No Child Left Behind Blue Ribbon Schools. We visited all four schools to see what makes them special. And talk about overcoming adversity. This woman was aborted at 7 months, survived, and is now a pro-life speaker, a singer-songwriter, and has completed a couple of marathons, despite having cerebral palsy. You gotta meet Gianna Jessen.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You. Compelling television about your Archdiocese.
The Incarnation means that God chose to become truly human in Jesus Christ. When we were configured to Christ through baptism, God became incarnate in each one of us. Just as that tiny child in the manger 2,000 years ago changed the world forever, so too can we change the world for the better in this third millennium of Christianity. As we celebrate the coming of Christ and His manifestation to the world, let's all draw inspiration from the hymns, the prayers, carols, the readings, and ritual, so that we will become more and more like beacons of light, dispelling the darkness of the night.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you so much for those thoughts of inspiration. Advent is like no other time of the year, and we have in our Catholic tradition so many wonderful ways of helping that experience to enter into our lives. And one of them, of course, is our Sunday Mass, that things are different. We start with the lighting of the wreath, and we sing particular carols. We sing, O come, O come, Emmanuel, people look east, comfort, comfort, O my people, walk in the rain, R-E-I-G-N, your mercy like rain, particular music that helps us to really, really feel that anticipation, God's life and love with us, God coming to us. So it's always a joy, and this particular time of the year, Mass has a whole different feel. It's a joy to enter into that time of slowing down, being aware, awaiting the anticipation of the birth of Christ anew in our hearts. And all of our Catholic traditions, signs, symbols, that Advent wreath, the lighting of the lights, the reconciliation service, all of that is intended to help us enter more fully into that season.
A couple of the things, Jerry and Kate, that I find interesting in the human condition this time of the year is there's almost a spiritual need to be generous.
Mm.
And what I find is we need to heighten that somehow so that generosity is not just, writing a check, but there's a spiritual generosity of how do we go the extra mile for people? You know, how do we... And I think that's part of the call of the season. If we are the light of the world, then there's a certain sense of generosity that we need to be a little bit more forgiving, a little bit more caring. And I had a wonderful experience after Mass several weeks ago. A woman, turned out to be a mom, came running up the aisle ahead of her husband and kids. And this lady said to me, she said, "My son, who was just confirmed, is going to give you something today, so just be aware." And I had no idea. You'd be a little nervous sometimes when people want to give you something. You're not sure what it is. Well, this young man, he was probably 12 years old, had just been confirmed. And he put in my hand, which I discovered later, was five $20 bills, all of his confirmation money.
Mm.
And he said to me, "Father, would you take care of some people for me?"
Wow.
And I thought,
12 years old.
12 years old, and the generosity of $100. And as we sit here this morning focusing on Advent and Christmas, I have 60 of those $100 in my pocket still, because I am on a mission to not just throw that money anywhere, but to see who I can specifically respond to. I mentioned this. I was lecturing in a class for a friend of mine last Saturday, and a young man said to me, he said, "Say, Reverend," he said, "I saw a lady out there today, two kids, and she looked down on her luck. Maybe you should help her." And I said, "Well, would you do it for me?" And he said, "Well, of course I would." So I gave him $20 to go and give to that woman, because I have a feeling he, being poor himself, might not have been able to give $20 to anybody.
Mm.
And it all started with the generosity of a young man confirming his faith in Jesus Christ through our church. It's a powerful season. Things happen within all kinds of people.
So the generosity, that generous spirit, and certainly as our culture is revving up, it's Christmas season, it's Christmas shopping in full swing, and we can look for ways that we can break out of the commercialism of it and really do kind things for one another. And it doesn't always have to involve money. It doesn't ever have to involve money.
No.
It can be doing a kind thing for someone else without them even knowing. It can be so many things.
See, I think it's fun sometimes to just pull out your Christmas card list and go through the list and say, who needs a phone call?
Hmm.
Who haven't I talked to in a while?
Hmm.
Not an email, not just scribbling a note on the bottom of a Christmas card. But I think the human interaction, and that's really communion when you think about it, in union with some other person to keep alive this sense of relationship and friendship. I think these small kinds of acts of generosity are ways where we need to be creative. Jerry, as you mentioned, in this dark time of the year, how do we be this light, this morning star?
I know. When I was growing up, my mother was the 10th of 10 children.
Mm,
and
wow.
Our Christmas celebration occurred with my dad's side of the family. Pardon me. And she always took one evening shortly before Christmas to call every single one of her siblings. And I remember sitting there as a kid saying, you know, and she those days, you know, we didn't have the free cell phones at night and all that. And it was a real act of kindness and sacrifice for my mom. But she called every one of my aunts and uncles at that time. And it just, we just sit there and just kind of watch my mom light up.
Sure.
And I'm sure light up their lives as well.
Absolutely. You know, and when I'm sure, Jerry, when people hear you say that, either right now on the air or if they download this radio show to their MP3 players, there's a lot of people who say, you know, I've got a lot of baggage with my family.
Yeah.
You know, and this is a challenge. If we are to be the light of Christ, then somehow we also have to be a reconciling light of Christ. And if it seems to me from listening to the scripture, at least the first 2 weeks of Advent, particularly John the Baptist, it's a call to repentance for the forgiveness of sins, a metanoia, a conversion, a opening up to new possibilities. And so sometimes the beginning of that is picking up the phone and just reconnecting sometimes with people. Who cares what caused the problem? Most people don't remember anyhow.
Yeah.
Why not initiate the presence of Christ?
But you bring up a great point, John, that this is a time of conversion, a time we shouldn't leave Advent the way we entered into it. Something should change. So what's going on, and how is the movement of God at work in our lives?
And that's a good question as we go to a bit of a break. How is the movement of God going through you at this very moment? And what is it pushing in you to do? Small, big, large, makes no difference. But God is always an active presence needing to burst forth and be born.
What's God pushing us to do, or even who's God pushing us to be? We're going to go to a break. We will be right back.
This is Cardinal Francis George with a Christmas greeting for Relevant Radio listeners. Dear friends, as we prepare for the glorious celebration of Christ's birth and the promise of His return in glory, we look again at the many ways that we meet Christ in our lives. May the presence of the newborn Christ bring the blessings of peace and love upon your family in this season. Thank you for listening to Relevant Radio, and Merry Christmas.
It's Morning Air with Sean Harriott and Wendy Weiss.
Wendy Weiss, up very, very early. You sound like you're awake.
I am highly caffeinated.
All right.
And I'm a huge fan of yours, as you know, because you gave me $25 to say that.
Listen to Morning Air with Sean Harriott and Wendy Weiss.
This is Glenn Hansen, and I'll have the latest weather for you, plus traffic time so you can get to work on time. Join us for Morning Air on Relevant Radio, 820 AM.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio, 820 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 AM, the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio, 820 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
They watch for Christ, who are sensitive, eager, apprehensive in mind, who are awake, alive, quick-sighted, zealous in honoring Him, who look for Him in all that happens, and who would not be surprised, who would not be over-agitated or overwhelmed if they found that He was coming at once. This, then, is to watch. To be detached from what is present and to live what is unseen. To live in the thought of Christ as He came once, and as He will come again, to desire His second coming from our affectionate and grateful remembrance of His first. John Henry Newman, 19th century.
Thank you, Jerry. Wow, that's very powerful words. Jerry, in something that you had written, maybe last year, a meditation you had written, you wrote, "This Advent season has the power to speak to each and every one of us, especially if we present ourselves honestly before God." As if Advent could do something for us, as opposed to us being in charge and having to do something this Advent. Could you talk to us a little bit about that?
Well, I think this is a kind of a personal mantra of mine, this sense of just presenting ourselves honestly before God. And it actually stems from my understanding of the Constitution on the Sacred Liturgy in the Second Vatican Council, which said that Mother Church earnestly desires that all the faithful be led to that full, conscious, and active participation in the liturgy. Mm-hmm. We've translated that a lot into pick up your hymnal, sing, make sure you're attentive to the homily, make sure your and also with you is very strong, make mm-hmm. sure your amens are strong. But I think that's only one side of it. The other side is to be conscious participators in the liturgy and conscious in life mm-hmm. is to say, yes, I'll bring my full-throatedness to the liturgy, but I'm also going to bring my heart. Mm. I'm going to just lay myself honestly before God. If we believe that bread and wine is transformed into the body and blood of Christ, then I think we also have to believe that if we honestly bring our sadness, our despair, and our joy and our gladness to that table as well, that so much more transformation awaits who we are. And it's just that thing about full, conscious, and active, I think, really means being honest.
Mm. Wow, that's powerful.
Being honest and open. And in prayer, sometimes we think there's a best way to pray, or a lot of young adults that I speak with just don't think they're worthy enough to say the right things or whatever. There's a right way and they don't know it, and that's prohibitive. But that's not true. All of us just bring ourselves to God, say what's on your heart. That is right. Wonderful prayer.
And so many people sometimes will say, I'm a liturgist, so many people sometimes would say, especially young people, this is so boring, you know, or, oh gosh, I'm not getting anything out of this. And so much of it has to do with, and we hear this over and over again, well, if you don't put something into it, you're not going to get anything out of it. But it's that sense that I'm going to bring what's going on at school, or I'm going to mm-hmm. bring what's going on at the office. I'm going to bring what's going on in my family to the Eucharist with me. I'm not going to leave that behind.
Right.
I'm going to come in and put that on the altar with bread and wine. And when you do that, you get so connected, and there's just no way the liturgy can be boring. No,
it sounds as if it's more than just that. It sounds like the two are integrated, that life and liturgy are meant hand in hand, and it's how to live life well.
Absolutely. And that, you know, we got the Holy Spirit there to help us along, too, which is great, you know.
One of the great lines, Jerry, that I am privileged to pray, and it's an invitational line at Catholic Mass, is after the consecration to say to people, let us proclaim the mystery of our faith. And the mystery of our faith is the drama of our faith. It's the drama being lived out in everyday life. And I always think that this is the drama on the altar. The Lord says, here, this is me. I'm not holding back. Take and eat. Take and drink. And now I only ask one thing. Will you, in the drama of your life, be my life to the world?
Absolutely.
You know, will you be the bread of life? Will you be the light of the world? Will you go forth from here? And that's where I think at the end of Mass, one of the most wonderful words is a simple word, go. We always throw it in, go in peace. It should be go, pause, 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 in peace to love and serve the world. But it's go. It's get out of here. Now you have been fed. You need and must feed someone else.
I was presenting a parish mission at St. Isidore's in Bloomingdale last year, and on the third night I noticed that they have these very crude signs up on the doors of the church going out into the narthex, and they said service entrance. And I thought it was so that people who delivered food to the to the school or something had a place, that's the door they use. And then it dawned on me, this is a parish that understood the word go.
That's right.
Because the doors going out said service entrance.
Service entrance.
You know, just amazing.
You're heading out to serve the world.
And that's what the liturgy is about.
To pour forth Christ. They got it. Yeah, it's an interesting and wonderful kind of a concept. And where else do you get that if we don't do that by gathering for worship with one another? This is where we are fed each and every week. And that's why this season is just so important to us, to help us reconfigure. We have the Christmas tree on one side of the room, but on the other side we've got this thing called the light of the world and this Advent wreath, calling us to be still in a noise-filled world, to find how we can be a light in the darkness in the midst of all the bright lights, and to be Christ. And I think that that's just where we really are.
In talking about what makes a good Advent, I think one of the things is to stay close to our traditions. Stay close to Sunday Mass, pay particular attention to those readings, bring your life story into Mass with you. It's not two separate things, as we're discussing. It's all joined together.
And let me make a suggestion, if I can. It comes from Anne's telephone call, particularly to those of you who might be our young adults who have this spiritual hunger for our faith. What I'd love to have you do is go to your computer and pull up your whatever Google or Yahoo or whatever it is, and I want you to type in one word, Advent, and hit enter, and see what comes up, and begin to either download, print out, or read some of the great traditions that are a part of our faith that maybe perhaps we may not be as aware of as other people were at one time. Anne mentioned like the O Antiphons. What's that? Google it. Trust me. You'll find an amazing wealth of scriptural and spiritual resource for this time of year. Just a number of different things. Some of the feast days that come up around Christmas.
One other thought is, we, you know, Sunday Mass is such a beautiful experience. Daily Mass can be such a calming experience. If we're talking about really spending some quality time in prayer and slowing down and entering into the season, to find a daily Mass, if you can find one between now and Christmas, it's very sacred time.
I've been a great proponent in the young adult culture, Jerry, of inviting people to try daily Mass. I know it's hard for a lot of people because oftentimes younger people are at the work site early and they don't have an opportunity. But if you can rearrange your schedule, you know, get up a little early and get to Mass before you hop on the L or drive to work or whatever it is, and just experience this time of the year the dark and the stillness of morning at worship in the quiet of a church. Trust me, it's a spiritual awakening.
You're listening to The Light Show, hosted by Kate DeVries, Father John Cusick, Mr. Jerry Gallipo from World Library Publications. We welcome you. We invite you to stay with us. We will be back in just a few moments.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
Join me, Chuck Neff, and our panel of spiritual advisors for The Inner Life. Get reliable spiritual direction from highly experienced Catholic priests who are able to guide you through the complexity of issues confronting your personal relationship with God. The Inner Life, heard here on Relevant Radio every weekday.
That's The Inner Life with Chuck Neff, weekday afternoons at 1 on Chicagoland's Relevant Radio, 820 AM.
Here's an invitation for men in the Archdiocese of Chicago to attend ministry weekends at Mundelein Seminary, retreats designed to help men discern God's call to the priesthood. I'm Father Joe Noonan, the Vocation Director for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Ministry weekends feature presentations about diocesan priesthood, prayer, and discussion, all aimed at reaching a better understanding of God's movement in your life. For more information about these free retreats, call me, Father Joe Noonan, at 847-970-4845 or visit our website www.chicagopriest.org. I look forward to meeting you at our next ministry weekend, Friday, January 12th through Sunday, January 14th.
Thank you. In this day, in David's city, a Savior is born to you. Although each one could be used by nearly anyone, each gift you unwrap this year is for you and for no one else. Whether a snow shovel or a shirt, pearls or a crock pot, your name should be engraved on each gift. It's yours. And bought with love, with you in mind. But that's not the case for the ultimate Christmas gift. Though given in love with you in mind, it is not for you exclusively. The Christmas gift, the Christmas child, Emmanuel, Jesus was not Mary's child or Joseph's child exclusively. It was a child for the life of the world. That's the message to the shepherds in the field from the angels. I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you a Savior is born. Born to shepherds, born to Mary, to Joseph, to astrologers from the East, born to you, to me, to everyone. From the beginning until now, this Christmas, 2006, our God is there for us, as gift for us. That's the great mystery and the wonder of faith, with some very important implications for us, the followers, the disciples. If the Lord is born for us, then I must be there for you, and then you must be there for me, and we for them, and them for us. What a Christmas gift for all.
Thank you, Father Cusick. That was a meditation that Father Cusick wrote. He's got a whole host of meditations in a little book. He's compiled them over the years, his little Christmas meditations, and that's very, very powerful. I love that you spoke of our God as gift for us, right, and our God who calls us to be gift for one another. That's just very, very powerful, powerful stuff.
Thank you.
So, in what ways are we gift for one another? And in what ways can we continue to bring the light of Christ to those around us?
Let me bring up something, not to be a Scrooge, but I think sometimes it needs to be said. The Christmas season is not a rah-rah experience for a lot of people. And I think our sensitivity sometimes should be alerted for people in our midst, people in our lives, people maybe with whom we work, for whom life is a struggle right now. It could be over an extended family situation of sickness or death. It could be a feeling of radical loneliness where the world is supposed to be happy and in love. It could be a variety of things, a job that may not be going well. We find ourselves in a distant city and not having the capability of heading home. You will find on the Young Adult Ministry website, and that's yamchicago.org, a little something that our office has put together called Getting Through the Holidays. If you yourself or someone you know may find this time of the year, this year, just a little bit of a struggle, we've got some pretty hands-on suggestions of ways that you may want to suggest to people or for yourself to take these days that lie ahead for all of us and not become a victim, but to sort of rise above the pain a little bit and just be a little bit more alive and not just become, oh, poor little me, this is happening. We can't necessarily let the pain go away. I can't tell you how much I grieved that first Christmas after my father died when I was 25. It just, there was no energy inside of me at all. But what my mother and I did, and part of the things we suggest in getting through the holidays, is that sometimes it's important to create new traditions. Because if we become a victim of nostalgia to what was, and what was is never coming back, then I think we have to grab the moment and find a new way of being alive. Does that ring true, Jerry?
You know,
at all?
Interesting enough, just yesterday, where I work, I'm in a little cubicle, and so sound travels from department to department. And one of the women with whom I work, just a great lady, her mother passed away 2 years ago, and she was sharing with somebody just next to a file cabinet. She said, you know, last Christmas was okay because people were sensitive to my needs and people were around, and right. I had a real sense of support. She said, but I'm finding going through this second Christmas be the most difficult because, you know, people probably think I'm doing okay. And she said, but there's a real part of me that's not. And, of course, I'm sitting there saying, What does that call forth for me? Who I just feel very grateful at this time in my life. You know, you know, what can I do for that woman? You know, and also just kind of being alert, like you said, Father, to the fact that not everybody is rah rah rah. When I write intercessions for this time of year, I always include one that says, for those who find this season a difficult time.
Absolutely.
You know, we need to be praying, surrounding those people with prayer, but doing things too, you know, just to.
And maybe in light of that intercession, Jerry, that we ask the question of ourselves, for whom is this a difficult time this year? And just try to raise that to our consciousness. And again, just go through the Rolodex that's in your mind. Who are the people from our workplace? Who are the people that we've grown up with? Who perhaps might be our colleagues from school and different things? And run through in your mind the images of those people and scribble down somebody who might need to have a suggested way of moving beyond some of the pain that life inflicts upon us. Because let's face it, all of us on some Christmas are going to be there.
Absolutely.
Nobody is getting out of this world without getting beat up. And I think the call of Christ is that we are more than our personal pain. We are still light. We are not contributing to the darkness. We are contributing to the light of the world.
Amen.
And we are going to take one more break. You are listening to The Light Show, and we will be right back.
Charities annual celebration of giving is underway. Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Chicago invite you to join in the celebration of giving this holiday season. I'm Father Mike Boland, asking you to help children and their families unwrap the spirit by sponsoring a family, donating a toy, or better yet, hosting a toy gathering party. For more details, call our Celebration of Giving hotline at 312-738-1674 or visit www.catholiccharities.net/celebration. Again, for more details, call our Celebration of Giving hotline at 312-738-1674 or visit us at www.catholiccharities.net/celebration. Make a difference this holiday season. Donate to Catholic Charities.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Poverty is no stranger to Illinois. The number of people living in poverty in this state has jumped by more than 30% in the last 5 years. We have the highest rate of deep poverty in the Midwest. The poor are not only growing in numbers, they're also getting poorer. The Catholic Campaign for Human Development breaks the cycle of poverty. It funds programs to create jobs, increase affordable housing, and protect the rights of workers, seniors, immigrants, and the disabled. Please support the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. Help break the cycle of poverty.
And Welcome back to The Light Show, hosted today by Father John Cusick, Kate DeVries, and our special guest, Jerry Gallipo from World Library Publications. Again, that music we've been listening to and enjoying all morning is from Holy Light, Musical Reflections for Christmas by Jerry Gallipo on the piano. He's a marvelous pianist. And Denise Lagilia on the flute. Jerry, why don't you tell us one more time where people can get that?
They can get it online at www.wlpmusic.com. It's the first thing on our homepage, or by calling 800-566-6150.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
One of the, Jerry and Kate, one of the magics for me almost all my life, since I was a little boy serving Mass at Little Flower Parish in the south side of Chicago, was Christmas Midnight Mass. It's the only midnight in the year that is so sacred for me. And it's such a Catholic time, Christmas Midnight Mass. Well, we would like to let our listeners know, and those of you who might have downloaded this little segment today, that Kate DeVries and I in the Young Adult Ministry Office for the last number of years have been privileged to host Christmas Midnight Mass. And this is particularly for people, young adult people, their extended families, friends, who might be looking for a place to worship. And there's a lot of people who come in the city for Christmas. They may not have a parish. They may be wrestling and struggling a little bit with trying to get in touch with their Catholic identity. If that be the case, if there's somebody that you know might benefit from a real sort of low-key but sacred Midnight Mass, our office will be celebrating Midnight Mass in one of the most wonderful, wonderful spaces in our archdiocese, and that is St. James Chapel at Quigley Seminary on the corner of Pearson and Rush Streets. The entrance is right there, right across the street from Loyola's Lake Water Tower campus. And Christmas carols begin 11:30, Mass is at midnight. It doesn't have all the bells and whistles of a lot of our parish churches. Kate DeVries, who hosts this show with me, is sort of our director of music for that. And if anybody listening to us has got the gift of music and wants to sort of be our Christmas choir, just come about 20 minutes, come about 11 o'clock and for the one and only choir rehearsal.
Yeah, it's very fun and very festive. It's all Christmas carols that we all know, right. And we just blend our voices, and somehow it all turns right. out beautifully.
And for those of us who grew up in Chicago, and myself, an alumnus of Quigley, we have fond memories of this magnificent Gothic chapel, which is a clone of Sainte-Chapelle on Île Saint-Louis in Paris. And the beautiful stained glass windows, the magnificent altar, the sacredness of the space, what a way to begin Christmas 2006. If you'd like more information on the Quigley Mass for midnight, you can call us at 312-466-9473. That's the Young Adult Ministry Office at 312-466-9473, and we can give you directions. I think that'll also be on our website at yamchicago.org.
Very quickly, a few other things coming up. This coming Sunday, December 17th, Father Cusick is doing a wonderful talk at 6 p.m. at Old St. Patrick's Church. It's called An Adult Appreciation of the Christmas Story. It's a fabulous opportunity to delve into the Gospels that tell of Jesus' birth, and we invite you to join us for that. Our yacht clubs are continuing. You can get the full story, the full schedule on our website, YAM Chicago. Again, everyone is welcome to join us for Midnight Mass. It would be a joy to be with you. We also have, beginning in January, a group for young adults who have lost a loved one. So if you or someone you know is suffering the loss of someone close to them, please give us a call. We do have the grief support group. It's called On the Journey. They meet for once a week for five consecutive weeks. That does begin in January. Any other questions, concerns, please call our office, 312-466-9473, or visit our website, yamchicago.org.
Jerry, any final thoughts to our friends that are listening to us this morning?
Just one, as we're driving around at night and see all those wonderful Christmas lights that are on trees and the edges of gutters and, and wreaths and doors and bushes,
yes.
I just keep reminding myself that every single one of those lights has a reason, and that's to remind us that Christ is the light of the world, every one of them.
Thank you.
One of the greatest reflections for me on Christmas is written by that wonderful Catholic poet, G.K. Chesterton. The Christ child lay on Mary's lap. His hair was like a light. Oh, weary, weary is the world, but here it is all right. The Christ child lay on Mary's breast. His hair was like a star. Oh, stern and cunning are the kings, but here the true hearts are. The Christ child lay on Mary's heart. His hair was like a fire. Oh, weary, weary is the world, but here the world's desire. The Christ child stood at Mary's knee. His hair was like a crown, and all the flowers looked up at him, and all the stars looked down.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 820 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.